Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Numbers. Please open your Bible to Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 9.
When we're close to the Lord, when we're walking with Him closely, we say things like, hey, whatever's happened, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God has allowed this to happen in my life, or the will of the Lord be done. But when you and I, when we drift to the outskirts of our walk with the Lord, we start to complain about everything. And no longer are we saying the will of the Lord be done. Now we're accusing God of being cruel. We're accusing God of being mean. We're accusing God of not caring. Like the disciples, when the water was coming into the boat, the storm had hit the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was on a pillow sleeping. And they woke him up and said, Master, don't you care? We're perishing. And when we begin to drift in our walk with the Lord, we end up on the outskirts in our walk with God. We start to question whether He cares. God, you allowed this to happen in my life. Do you care? We're implying that I would never allow that to happen in my kid's life. So we're accusing God of being unfair. We're accusing Him of being mean. And when we have drifted on the outskirts of our walk with the Lord, this is what happens. We start to complain about the things that are in our lives, the things that hasn't happened yet. And we start to complain. And what happens is the fire of the Lord begins to consume things in our life. And then we really start to complain even more. Why is this not good? Because number one, complaining displeases God. Number two, God hears it when we complain. And number three, He gets angry when we complain. You know why? God gets angry because the attitude we're giving off is we're ungrateful. And every complaint that you make is a complaint against God because God allowed it to happen in your life. And therefore, God is all powerful. He allowed it, meaning that He's powerful enough. He could have stopped it, but He didn't. And so we begin to complain, and I'm telling you, God hears it and He's not happy with it. God is working out a plan, a future and a hope for us. And there's things that we need to happen in our life to make us more like Jesus Christ. And so He allows people to come in, irritating people. People that just get on your last nerve kind of folk. Because He sees that we need help with patience. He sees that we need some help with kindness. So He will bring those people as co-workers, as bosses, and He allowed them to be over you. He'll bring them in your life as spouses. And they have these little things that just get under your skin. Oh, you overlooked them because Cupid shot you with an arrow. And you had all these hearts. And you couldn't see those things. But as time had gone on, each one was getting popped. And now you can see these little irritating things. And that's why you start to complain about the toilet tissue being flipped on the wrong side or the toothpaste squeezed in the middle instead of the bottom. And you start complaining about the washcloth left in the silly stuff. All that stuff has been a part of His life forever. But now they just get on the, just, you know, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. And all this stuff starts to really bother us when we begin to drift in our walk with the Lord. And it'll start to bother us. But just understand that complaining displeases God. Number two, God hears it when we complain, meaning that those complaints we make even underneath our breath, or those complaints we don't even say anything, but we saying it in our mind. Ooh, I just can't stand them. Every time they do that, it just, ooh, irks me. And you're just saying it in your mind. God still hears it. He hears it. He hears it. Look what it says there in verses 2 and 3. It says, then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. And so he called the name of the place Terebinth, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now, in these particular verses, when the fire broke out, verse 2 says, the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed or interceded on behalf of the people, and the fire was quenched. This was an act of mercy because God could have consumed the entire nation. So it was an act of mercy. Number two, it also tells us that maybe only a select amount of people were doing the complaining. And so once again, you know, God really could have just wiped them out and just said, you know what, I'm tired of y'all. Boom, you're done. But according to verse 3, they named the place Terebinth, which in Hebrew means burning. This is a good practice for us to follow, to name the place that God disciplined us to remind us not to do it again. This is why you have heard me allude to 2010 as the worst year of my life and ministry, because that was the year the fire of the Lord burned in my life and in the life of our church. Well, why remember it? So I can always remember what I did to cause the fire to burn in my life from the start. I had drifted to the outskirts of the camp in my walk with the Lord, and the Lord consumed me. So 2010 is my Terebinth. What is yours? What is that place that you got burnt by that boyfriend or girlfriend? That you got burned by that husband or ex-husband or ex-wife? That is your Terebinth, to remind you of the fire of the Lord, how it burned in your life. Because you know you shouldn't have been with them from the start. But you got with them because you were lonely. You were lonely. And you got with them and got burned. It's good to name that place, to name that situation, so you won't do it again. Some of you don't name it, and that's why you keep doing it again. And you wonder why I keep picking these losers. You failed to name the first loser. And therefore, you kept picking the same type with a different face. I know my Terebinth. I know mine. Do you know yours? That place where God disciplined you in love. That's how he disciplines us. It's out of love. Look what he says there in verse 4. It says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Okay. We see from this verse that the mixed multitude among them yielded to intense craving. The mixed multitude were those Egyptians who came with them out of Egypt. No doubt they saw what the God of Israel did to the Egyptians, and they were afraid, and they came with the Israelites. Oh, they were not necessarily true believers in the God of Israel, but they saw the power of God. And from this verse, we can see that they were able to influence the Israelites to complain about the food they were eating and to begin to ask for some meat. I cannot emphasize it enough, the influence the world has on us as believers. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And Paul says, do not be deceived. Notice that. Because we deceive ourselves when we think that we can constantly be with unbelievers and they not influence us in some kind of way. Oh, we're called to be around the world because we have to influence them for Jesus Christ. We're called to have contact without contamination. So we're called to be around them, but don't fool yourself and think you can be around them constantly and they not influence the way you think. They not influence the way you act. They will influence you. It's never the other way around, really. It doesn't say good company will reverse bad habits. No, good Christian habits will be corrupted by the constant hanging out with bad company that you're around. It's just what's going to be. This mixed multitude started complaining about the food, the manna. And the next thing you know, the children of Israel started crying out and wept about having some meat. See, complaining comes when we begin to lust. The Hebrew phrase that is here, they yielded to intense craving, means that they lusted intensely. When we're not satisfied with what God has given us, we lust intensely. And then we start to complain. For the Israelites, they lusted for meat. And for us, it's no different. We lust too for that individual there, or for her husband, or for his wife. And when we're not satisfied or content with what we have been given by the Lord, we lust, then we complain. When we lust, we start to complain. If you married and you lust, you start to complain about your spouse. You don't do this. You're not that. You don't show me enough attention. You don't do this enough with me. And then we lust and then we start complaining. When we don't repent for our ungratefulness, the lust will intensify. See, when we lust, it is always for that which is forbidden. James 4 verses 2 and 3 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. James is saying you lust and you do not have, so you murder and covet and cannot obtain. This means you're willing to murder someone's name, someone's good name, someone's character to get what you are lusting for. And you still can't obtain it. You're fighting and battling on the inside because the lust is driving your passion. Your lust has driven you to the point where you are willing, watch this, willing to ask God to give it to you in prayer. And this is why verse 3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. That word in the Greek, amiss, means you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Meaning this thing or person you're lusting for, you only want it not for anything godly or spiritual, but to spend it on your pleasures or to fulfill your lustful desires. And so it was this mixed multitude corrupted the good habits of the Israelites to the point where they started to ask for meat. Look at verses 5 and 6. These are amazing verses here. It says, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our whole body is dried up. There is nothing at all except this stinking manna before our eyes. Now, they were starting to romanticize about the past, saying, we remember the fish. the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics, according to verse 5. Then they said, our whole body is dried up with this manna, according to verse 6. There is nothing in the biblical text or secular records that says that the Israelites enjoyed these foods. Keep in mind, they were slaves. They had the bare minimum. This is why I believe the mixed multitude were those Egyptians who came with them out of Egypt and influenced them with these thoughts. Now, the Egyptians enjoyed the leeks and the onions and the garlics and melons and all those kind of niceties. But there's no biblical account or extra biblical account or secular history that says the Israelites had those things. The slaves wouldn't have that kind of food, but some Egyptians would. And I can just see them as they just hanging out with the Israelites. And, you know, they eating some more manna. And all of a sudden, boy, can't you taste some melon right now? Leeks and onions and garlic in a stir fry. And I believe they started influencing them. They started talking and getting in their ear. Well, you can get some pot roast. Get that crock pot going. You can just smell it throughout the house. Can't you taste some of that meat? Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I want some meat too. And I believe that they were influenced by them. So I believe there was this mixed multitude that they were the ones romanticizing about the past. And we need to be very careful about romanticizing our past, only remembering the so-called good times and not remember that it was while you were in the Egypt of this world that you cried out to the Lord to save you out of. Satan is very good to remind you of the leeks, the onions, and the garlics of this world. But fail to remind us that onions and garlics make us stink. And it was while we were in our stinky condition that we cried out to the Lord. But Satan will only remind you of the leeks and the onions and of this world and remind you of the flavor. But garlic and onions and stuff, you have that on your breath, and we're going to tell you, go get some of those mints out there at the Welcome Center. It makes us stink. So don't fantasize about the past nor the future. Meaning, ladies, don't lust and fantasize about him over there. Remember, lust is desiring that which is forbidden. And men, don't fantasize about having her either. Don't allow the mixed multitude of this world to influence you in this way. Fantasizing about the past nor the future. Oh, you know, ooh, really? And you just... Women, that's what you do. You see, y'all think y'all slick. Whereas men, you know, we look and take another look and another look. And women, they take one glass and gone and got a whole story. Y'all married with a white picket fence, two kids, and just gone with it. It was one look. It was one look. And y'all gone with that thing. Can't let that happen. Can't let it happen. Look at verses 7 through 9. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and the color is like the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it on millstone and beat it in the mortar and cooked it in pans and made cakes of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Now, After the Israelites fantasized about the food they didn't have in Egypt and how their bodies were dried up from the manna, according to verse 6, it is described for us. The manna is described for us in verse 7. Manna was like a coriander seed and the color of bdellium, which was a yellow gold kind of color. But the part that I love is in verse 8. It had the taste of some kind of pastry. Eating pastries every day, I don't have a problem with that. If I can eat donuts and stuff every day, I wouldn't have a problem with that. So it has the taste of some kind of pastry. The Israelites, they got very creative. Can you imagine having this food every day for 40 years? So they got very creative. Because also in verse 8, they cooked it, they ground it, they baked it, they fried it. It said fried right there. It said they cooked it. They cooked it in pans, so they fried it. So, and some fried manna. I mean, they turned that manna out every way they could. Fix manna. If you thought about it, they probably made manna smoothies, and they just turned this manna out. If there were a different way to make manna, they did it. Verse 9 says that the manna fell on the dew of the ground at night. According to Exodus 16, verses 13 and 14, the manna came in the morning. So the night in this verse is referring to that time right before the morning when it's still a little dark. This description of the manna is given for us for two reasons. Number one, because the Israelites were so sick of it that they could describe manna in their sleep. That's number one. But number two, for future generations to know how God provided for them in the wilderness for 40 years with a substance called manna. So when their children ask, hey, what's this manna? Y'all talking about, you know, y'all get together. You're always talking about some kind of manna. What was manna? Manna in Hebrew means just, what is it? They didn't know what it was. They saw this little substance on the ground. They said, what is it? I don't know. What is it? And so they just called it, what is it? Everybody knew it as, what is it? It was manna. So whenever their children said, y'all keep talking about this, what is it? This manna. What is this manna? They were able to describe it in great detail after eating it every day. And in every way, for 40 years. Now, let me wrap it up with this. The danger of complaining. In this study, we saw how complaining is not right for three reasons. Number one, it displeases the Lord. It displeases him because we're kind of accusing God of being, not fair, not right. And it displeases him that we're ungrateful for what he has given us. So it displeases him. And he hears us. Number two, he hears us when we complain. And then number three, God gets angry when we complain. When we complain, we end up getting burned. We saw that. It shows that we have drifted to the outskirts of the camp in our walk with the Lord. It also shows that we have been hanging out with the mixed multitude. If this is you, we're going to have some people available to pray with you to repent of this behavior because it displeases the Lord. It's not a spiritual gift. You need to stop giving yourself a license to do it. If we don't repent, then it will lead to lust and intense craving for that which is forbidden. Come and get things right with the Lord who loves you and wants to forgive you and set you free from your complaining, because it is just not right. What else happened? We'll see God's will next time in The Danger of Complaining, Part 2. Let's pray. Father, thank you again that you love us enough to share these things with us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for us. Lord, continue to do a tremendous work in the midst of your people here. Lord, I pray that we can be a voice of one crying out in the wilderness of this world, this generation, making paths straight for people to come to know you. And so God, draw us to you. Lord, use us in a powerful way for your glory and your kingdom alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' kingdom vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvaryNN.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia, 23608, and receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.